This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Rick Cushman is standing by to talk wine with us, but let's get a quick update from the National Weather Service first. On the phone is meteorologist Michelle Mead with the Sacramento office. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for joining us. Will you tell me about the impact so far of the storms we've had since late last week?
It's definitely been a very busy last 5 days, almost 7 days, actually. It started about Tuesday afternoon. Most notably was the impacts across the Sierra Nevada. Just about all the passes experienced some sort of delays or even closures due to the huge amounts of snow, blowing snow, blizzard-like conditions, which resulted in numerous accidents up and down the Sierra, all the way from Tuesday night into Thursday morning and then again over the weekend. But even in the valley and along the coastal range, we saw quite a bit of rainfall. And they did have some landslides along the coastal range near the Kincaid Fire, but nothing actually happened on the Kincaid Fire.
Okay. I heard about 1.5 inches total of rainfall in the Sacramento area specifically.
Correct. We had about 1.75 inches from the time that the storm began last Tuesday. But just surrounding there in the very lower foothills, like in the Roseville-Rockland areas, we saw upwards of 2.5 to 3 inches, and then just a little bit more up the hill in Auburn, there was 3.5 inches, and then all the way up to 6 inches in the Sierra, where majority of that fell as snow.
All right, what's lingering in the next couple days ahead between now and next weekend?
So we do have a few showers still lingering in the forecast from this exiting weather system for today. They will be tapering off through the day today, but we'll still have some tomorrow. The driest days are going to be Wednesday and Thursday as we get a brief drying trend. There's going to be a little ridge that pops over us. And then, believe it or not, we're looking at another significant weather system moving in Friday into Saturday. So I know there's a lot of folks hoping to get up there and enjoy all that new fresh snow, but make sure they keep up on the forecast and, of course, check the road conditions because we are looking for another round of large accumulations of snow in the Sierra Friday and Saturday.
A lot of people love hearing that in the snowfall region. You mentioned the Kincaid Fire. Would you just give me rainfall totals in that sort of Sonoma-Napa County area and talk about the ongoing flood risk there this week?
So the Napa Kincaid Fire region itself saw anywhere over the last 7 days, they saw upwards of 5 inches pretty much across the area. The good news is most of that came as very steady rainfall, so there weren't the impacts that could have been with any embedded thunderstorms. That's the main risk with burn scar after fire, is those short duration, high intensity rainfalls that are usually associated with thunderstorms, and we did not see that with this event, so that kind of saved off the Kincaid Fire. That being said, all of that rain, of course, does have an impact to the hillsides of the coastal range, and they did report quite a few landslides, and those are different than burn scars. That's just normal erosion of rain on the steep terrain along the coastal range along the mountains, and that's just rock and some mud moving off the hillside versus the burn debris moving off a burn scar.
Michelle, I always appreciate the updates, so thanks for joining us for a few quick minutes this morning. Take care.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That is meteorologist Michelle Mead with the National Weather Service in the Sacramento office. So let's keep this conversation going about that region and the impact specifically on the wine industry. Rick Cushman is back in the studio with us. Great to have you here. It's been a while.
Oh, I missed you, Beth.
Oh, well, there are interesting parallels right now between weather and wine. So let's start with the Kincaid Fire.
Sure.
And what the impact was.
Well, you know, more or less, the wine region there dodged a bullet. And you know, there was a couple of big reasons for it, and one of them was that the largest part of that fire was mostly in wild country up in the mountains and away from them. There were some wineries that were damaged, and one lost. Soda Rock Winery was lost. But most of the grapes had been in that area, had already been in, at least 90% had been picked. And the other part of it is that vineyards are a fire break. You know, they're not fireproof, but they're a fairly large green swath that's moist. And, you know, and most of them, if there's not cover crops, you know, grass in between the rows, there's really nothing for the flames or embers to catch. Sometimes what happens is the water pipings and things like that get burned for irrigation and that sort of thing. So by and large, that industry was okay. And frankly, this rain is good for them. And so, you know, Sonoma County, and that's Alexander Valley, which is, if anybody doesn't know where that is, it's basically along on the east side of Highway 101, you know, sort of from Hillsburg up north.
North of Napa,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, if you come straight out of Napa and keep going north on Calistoga, that's that you'd go through a hill and that becomes Alexander. And then Dry Creek Valley was also an area that was evacuated and a little bit nervous. And they're on the west side of 101, just past Santa Rosa and Hillsburg.
One winery was destroyed, though.
Silver Rock Winery, yes. And there was other places where buildings were burned, and the Jackson family had a home. You know, that's Jackson Family Wines, one of the big winery owners there. A family home was burned. But by and large, you know, and there were no deaths. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where at least physically, you know, it could have been much worse. But there is sort of a scar, and it hurt the industry in another way. And this is still left over from 2017, which is economically. So it happened during a pretty high tourist time. You know, people love to go out to wine country during the fall. One, it's beautiful. Second, crush. Everywhere you go, it has that smell of grapes being crushed and wine. It's a really lovely time, and the hotels are usually filled and everything's filled. And so that a big chunk of Sonoma and Healdsburg and that area there lost a lot of business.
In 2017, well, initially.
And they have not bounced back. Napa pretty much has, but this is, you know, the big fires in 2017. Napa has, because Napa's a slightly different place. Napa gets the really high-end folks and people. It just is, and it's Napa. But Sonoma has not had the return to business. Plus, it was more damage in Sonoma. Towns like Santa Rosa took some pretty serious hits. Mm-hmm. And so they're not seeing the business that they did. And then this comes along and gives them another economic hit. And certainly North Sonoma, people don't really differentiate. You're not going to go to Southern Sonoma if there's a fire raging, you know, 40 miles away or 20 miles away even. And so both those regions, even Napa a little bit, took a loss in tourism as well.
So you're going to say, go to Sonoma County. Go do some wine tasting over there.
Yes. So the good news is you can help by having a good time. That's it. You know, enjoy yourself. Go do some wine tasting. Go eat dinner. Stay overnight. Prices are good. Now's a good time. Actually, you know, anybody's ever listened to this, you know, I always say winter's an awesome time to go wine tasting. Right. I think that the mists in the air and the place looks just a whole different kind of beauty, and they're happy to see you. And everybody's open for business right now, and they'll probably hug you when you walk in.
I don't want to leave that topic of 2017 just yet, because the wines from that time, what was bottled is now hitting the store shelves.
Right. And so that was a concern, and still in some ways is, but not what we thought. You know, that it's smoke taint is what
we asked you about it over and over during that season.
Right. And it's a difficult thing to measure. You know, it's the smoke in the air that gets into the grapes. Generally, for grapes that have been pretty close to being done, you know, ready to be picked, the skins are pretty thick. So if it's a little bit of smoke, it's not a problem. But those fires were heavy and lasted a long time. So you know, I've been hearing lots of people talking about, oh, don't buy the 2017s because they're going to be tainted. And the answer is no, they're not. I mean, for the vast, vast majority of wines that all of us are going to see in supermarkets and in wine shops, first off, the grapes were picked. And we're really only talking about wines like Cabernet, maybe Syrah, but the really big, heavy reds that were still out there too. And there weren't a lot. It was about 80% that year. So don't worry about any whites. Don't worry about Pinot Noir. They wouldn't have even been exposed. Hmm. But I know, like, one of the wineries that I worked with, they just had a vineyard, they didn't use the grapes. So, you know, a lot of the wineries just weren't going to risk it. Hmm. So there's some less wine than there might have been in some of these cases, but, you know, they didn't make a vintage of a few wineries from some of the big vineyards that were right in the middle of it. Having said that, here's the one thing. It is really difficult to measure smoke taint. So wines may pretty much be clean or seem clean. And some of the higher end wines, which age for a couple of years, then people put away for a couple of years, it might develop. So my advice is, if you do have, you know, good 2017s, think of them as wines you're going to drink, not wines you're going to store. You know, and if you're a collector, well, that's a choice you have to make, you know, but there, you know, because smoke taint does start to evolve a bit more in the bottle and it might come out a little bit more. But in general, it really isn't something to worry about.
All right. You're listening to wine expert Rick Cushman. I'll refer everybody to the really fun podcast that you have, Bottle Talk.
Bottle Talk with Rick and Paul.
And there's a link to it on our website, capradio.org. So just a few quick questions that come up in the podcast.
Yes.
If you're having a big bar party, is box wine okay?
Well, I say yes. I mean, you know, first off, make sure you like it. You know, but if you've got a big party, why not? But here's my suggestion, especially if you're somebody that has wine friends, and if you have, you know, a pitcher or a decanter, even better.
I know where you're going.
Just put it in the decanter,
right.
Put it out on the table. Who's going to know?
That's
you don't
right.
have to tell them.
Okay.
Although I have to tell you, there are some really good box wines. We have a box Chardonnay in my refrigerator right now.
Okay, here's another one. Everybody's drinking wine at the party.
Yeah.
They don't really care what it is, and somebody brings you a really nice bottle.
Yeah.
Is it okay if you just hide it, put it off to the side for later?
I loved this question when we got it, and the guy who sent it was sort of a little ashamed. And, you know, we've been there. I've been there. And so here's the thing. If you're at a party where, you know, people are drinking out of the big red plastic cups and nobody cares what they're drinking, what does it matter if there's that one good bottle? Put it aside. Don't put it away because that would be cheating, but put it in the back and people are going to reach for the wine in the front. And if anybody is looking for something good, they'll find it because the people who are looking for something good, they'll pick it up. But I don't think you're doing any harm at all. You're not really being selfish because the people who drink it might not notice one way or the other anyway.
Okay, in a few seconds left, what's a good bottle of wine this year to take as a gift if you're going
Well, I say sparkling wine's always a good gift.
Okay, yep. Love that. Love that. Well, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Hope to see you much more again in the new year.
Absolutely.
And all the best to you and your family.
And you too.
That is wine expert Rick Cushman. His podcast, again, is Bottle Talk with Rick and Paul. You can find a link at capradio.org. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak, producing the show with Helen Barrington and Cynthia Lopez. Our digital team is Chris Hagen and Emily Zentner. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our director is Matt Piscini. Insight's managing editor is Aram Sarkissian. We had Antonio Munez in the booth today with us, too. Cap Radio's chief content officer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us. We're back again with a live show tomorrow.